Hit the restart button. We're right there too. Recharge those batteries. We're here to help you.
Aloha, everyone. My name is Katie Ritter.
And I'm Justin Thomas, and this is the Restart Recharge Podcast, a podcast by coaches for coaches. We bring you tips and tricks to help you in your everyday work as an instructional technology coach or whatever they call you at your school.
And hopefully you're going to leave after listening to this podcast feeling just a little bit less on your own coaching island, like you have a tribe. And really quick, Justin, I do want to share with you that Forward Edge is hosting a coaches camp, specifically a two-day training this summer on June 16th and 17th. It will be hosted in Cincinnati, Ohio, and virtually simultaneously for those folks who can't travel just yet. And we will be providing to you the same two-day training that we put our own instructional technology coaches through. So if you're interested in finding out more information on that, you can visit our website at forward-edge.net/coachcamp. That's forward-edge.net/coachcamp. And so without further ado, we would like to introduce today's guests on our show. Today, a couple of Forward Edge coaches that we have who work with Justin and I. And I have the honor of introducing Brooke Conklin, who is a technology coach here with us. And she serves pre-K through 12th grade teachers in a Southwest Ohio school. Before entering the world of ed tech, Brooke taught 7th grade social studies, and she is originally from Northwest Arkansas and has since settled in Liberty Township, Ohio with her husband, Alan, and their 3 kids. Brooke works as a teacher and technology coach, is fueled by her love of empowering others to pursue their potential and dreams at full force. So welcome, Brookie, as we call her here on our team.
Thanks, Katie.
And I have the honor of introducing Michael. Michael Rausch specializes in educational technology, assistive technology, and universal design for learning. In addition to serving as a Forward Edge technology integration specialist, Michael serves as an adjunct professor of education for Wilmington College. Michael and his wife, Angie, live in rural southwestern Ohio. They have 4 adult children, 2 in grade school and 1 grandson. Michael's passion in education is helping every student learn to be able to define and achieve what the highest level of success means for them. So welcome, Michael.
Hi, great to be with you today.
And as we now have both Michael and Brooke on here, let's kind of set the stage for today's episode. The fact of the matter is this, we are getting nicer weather now. It's really nice out today. And although that is good news for spring, spring also usually means that it is testing season. And let's be honest, testing is not the most fun time for teachers or for students or for a lot of people within a school district. But we want to talk today about how you as a technology integration specialist or a coach or whatever you're called in your school, how does your role change as you move forward into this testing season? Because obviously teachers have a lot on the plate to begin with, and just like a whole extra serving from the buffet just piled right onto their plate now. So we want to talk a little bit today on our episode about how exactly you go about moving and shifting with your role into helping support teachers during testing season.
Great, sure. Thanks, Justin. And actually, we are going to take a quick 30-second break from our sponsor. So stick with us, and we will be right back in 30 seconds to hear from Brooke and Michael as we tackle this topic of testing.
Looking for a program that reaches all teachers in learning new tools to integrate in their lessons? EDU Badges is the answer. EDU is an anytime, anywhere badging program that is designed to take bite-sized tools for instruction and teach teachers how to use them. EDU has received the ISTE Seal of Alignment for Educator Standards, and each badge in our expanding library is aligned to the ISTE standards and the SAMR model. Learn more about the program that teachers call addicting at forward-edge.net/EDU Badges. Welcome back, and thank you again for joining us. It's Brooke and Michael, our two technology coaches, that are here today to talk about how they shift in their roles for testing, because testing season is here. And as we all know, testing season is kind of a lot going on, not just for a tech coach, but for teachers, for students, for everyone really in the school district. So we want to talk to both Michael and Brooke, who have been in schools working with teachers during testing season for a couple of years here. And really kind of the first question that comes to mind is, how does your experience as a tech coach relate to teachers within this role? Like, how are you now supporting teachers when testing comes along? And does your role change at all during this time of the school year?
Sure. Thanks, Justin. This is definitely kind of a strange time of year. And if you've been a tech coach for very long, you know that tech coaching kind of ebbs and flows throughout the school year, and there are definitely certain trends that you experience as a tech coach when it comes to the school year. So you have like your back to school rush in August. Christmas always has its kind of unique personality, and then we are hit with testing right around this time of year. So I would say in my experience, everyone's focus just kind of shifts and people become hyper-focused on testing. And it's almost like a time warp, you could say, where you go back in time and you lose sight of all this innovation and really powerful instruction that you've been working on all year. And suddenly we're really worried about scores, and we're really worried about reading passages and all of these things that seem to kind of spur out of nowhere. So I would say in my experience, I'm sure Michael can relate to this as well. You tend to get hit with a lot of test prep questions. So they a lot of people forget about your role as kind of an innovation expert, and they're wanting help with like, how do I get my kids to use the online highlighter? And how do I get my kids to use the mask reader on the standardized test? So really the focus of admin and teachers tends to shift. And it takes a lot of kind of delicate refocusing to get everybody to continue to move student learning forward and not just teach for a test, in my experience.
Yeah, you're right on. In schools where, you know, the state testing is this thing that everybody knows is coming, you know, you get to a point where the core subject teachers are just all wrapped up in testing. You know, schedules are starting to come out of what they're going to be taking when, and any other kind of preparatory things that are going on. You know, the normal bell schedule that you've worked all year to try to understand and to get under your belt for, you know, some length of time during testing, that bell schedule is going to be all messed up. You know, in some cases, teachers are looking for, you know, like Brooke was saying, you give me tools that as closely mimic what students are going to be doing on the test as possible. But then you've got other teachers who are like, give me stuff that is as little like that as possible so that I can have these students do something different. So, you know, as much as that cloud maybe kind of looms over some of the teachers that we work with, yeah, there's a kind of a variety of what they're looking for as we get closer to that, to those times.
Now, Mike, you guys are talking, I'm almost hearing like the Game of Thrones, like winter is coming. Something is coming.
It does kind of feel like the Hunger Games drop, where everyone drops from their bubble and it's survival of the fittest all of a sudden. Choose your weapon.
Well, talking about maybe not necessarily a weapon, but how do you still champion some of these ed tech tools? I know, Michael, you kind of alluded to trying to find something that mimics something that's kind of light for teachers, but does your mindset kind of shift on what ed tech tools do you want to try to now show teachers during this time frame?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Because, I mean, we can talk about test prep, but I still find that there's a lot of different ideas about what test prep means. When I go into different rooms, you know, for some teachers, they're thinking, what tricks can I show my kids to help them squeeze more points out of the test? For some teachers, it's what can I show these kids that helps them understand what the interface is going to look like? And for some teachers, it's no, I want to go back and give these kids as much of a high level overview of the content they might see on the test as possible. Those are three very different questions that are going to have three very different answers when I walk into that room as a tech coach. One thing that Brooke started to mention that I think is super important to bring out into all of this is some of those special features that may be accommodations that are available on the test for some folks, not just special ed, but you know, as we've gone to the more digital, the online technologies for testing, things like text to speech and some of the highlighting and spell checking and that sort of stuff that are going to be available for some students on these tests. If they've never used them all year, they're not going to learn how to use them successfully as they take the test. So in some cases, test prep might just be, you know, refreshing and rehoning some of those digital skills that, you know, hopefully kids have been exposed to and able to learn all throughout the school year as we go. But if not, you know, right now is the best time to start learning how to use those educational aids effectively.
Absolutely, Michael. And that kind of jogged me back. And I always tend to block out this time of year as a tech coach. but I totally agree with you. And it's a conversation that I find myself having year after year. And I think that I'm getting better at it. But a lot of times I'm met with the group of teachers that wants to squeeze the points out of the test. And it's this instant panic of if only they could know how to use this tool, it could save them a couple of points. And so the conversation that I find myself having is not, okay, let's teach your kids how to use these 10 different tools on their online testing platform and just hope that they remember it and that they're not confused by this crash course. But I tend to try to get out of them to think back to how they've been working on that skill all year long and really getting them to focus on talking to their kids about that. So instead of introducing a new strategy, what is the strategy you've been teaching? Even if it's not like a fancy tool on a testing platform, chances are you've taught them a really cool acronym or you've done something that's already ingrained in their brain. And then if the teacher really does want to use that highlighting tool, the mask reader, what have you, maybe we start a conversation about how can we begin the year next year and incorporate those tools all year long so that it's just a natural part of their test taking and it's not this new emergency tool. So that's what I find myself having a lot. And I also have to say that I found out very early on that I'm not an ed tech tools salesperson. I think that we all have our own coaching personalities and sales is totally not mine. I walked into my first classroom saying, have you heard about XYZ? I think it was Edpuzzle. And the teacher felt as awkward as I did and I hated it. So when we talk about ed tech tools and reviewing ed tech tools around testing time, I tend to not push tech tools. I really feel awkward about it. And instead what I try to do and what I found works for my personality is to just walk into the classroom or be that sounding board for frustration or venting, because there's plenty of that this time of year. And instead of coming with this slew of tools I think will help their kids, I'm listening in for what the problems are. So what are they most frustrated about? What are they most nervous about, scared about? Or if I'm just walking into the classroom, what am I seeing? So it could be anything from student engagement to typing, to you name it. There's so many different frustrations around this time. But then that's where I'll come in and work with the teacher to find an ed tech tool that fits, or a strategy that fits, because it might not be an ed tech tool. It might not be the cool, latest, flashy thing. It might just be a simple strategy that I saw in the room next door. So that tends to be my coaching style when it comes to championing tech tools. Definitely not the sales. Keep trying as many as you can.
I love that, Brooke. I think that's a great tip to share with tech coaches, especially, newer tech coaches. I think it's easy to think in that way. But as soon as we flip the script and we start thinking about the outcomes or the solutions, what are we trying to have students do? It makes it easier to sell without selling the use of and adoption of some of these tools. So thank you for that great reminder. And so kind of taking it a step further, I know that you've both kind of mentioned thinking about some of those teachers who are focused on squeezing out extra points or really kind of panicked in this time of year to review all of the material, whether it's tech tools or just content or whatever it may be that students might need. And there is a lot of stress around this time of year. You know, I don't think it's a coincidence that the couple of comparisons we've made are like Game of Thrones, Winter is Coming, and the Hunger Games, right? Those are all really negative connotations to this time of year. And that is because it does feel kind of negative, right? I mean, there's so much stress on this time. And so I don't want to, I kind of just want to, a couple of things. First, take a second to acknowledge the systems and structures that are in place that cause this stress on teachers, that no matter how we personally feel about testing, I think we all share a lot of the same views about testing, and it's not a secret, I don't think, how I feel about testing. But so regardless of how we feel personally, the fact of the matter is like the systems and structures are in place for testing right now. And it does put that stress on teachers to get their students to perform in a certain way, to form their own observations and how they are evaluated and paid potentially, and how building principles are perceived to be effective or ineffective, and funding that is tied coming from the state and federal, and extra obligations that are potentially put on schools. So when we know that all of these extra stressors are in place, and personally as a tech coach, as frustrated as we may get thinking, why are we stopping this now to like pivot and only focus on test prep, there is something to acknowledge the stress that these teachers are feeling. So that was a really long way for me to lead up to ask you guys to, how are you kind of balancing supporting teachers and this real stress that they are having, and also trying to continue to push them so that we aren't just stopping purely for test prep? Or do you?
Sure. So I definitely feel the stress of teachers, and coming from the classroom myself, that stress is near and dear to my heart. I get flashbacks to that time of my own life whenever I'm watching teachers go through it. And unfortunately, I do think it all those pressures that Katie talked about do roll downhill to the classroom, as the as the expression goes. So I do my best. I think that the largest, maybe simplest, but most effectful thing that I do is just be present as much as I can with teachers. So I tend to try to make sure that I'm always seen throughout the building the entire year. But this season in particular, I try to be even more present, making sure that I make contact with people super frequently, that I'm visible in the halls. Because when your Kahoot isn't working, or you didn't share something correctly on Google Classroom at this time of year, it can feel so much larger than the problem actually is. So just making sure that I'm there to provide even quicker support than I normally do, or at least that they know that they can expect to see me soon. I also will tend to do a few more break fix things at this time of year. Typically, I do try to avoid the break fix, fixing the projector, the computer, the printer, whatever. Just to clarify my role, as we've talked about in previous episodes, but this time of year does tend to be an exception to that. Like Katie said, any little thing that we can do to help take the stress off of teachers' plates. And then as far as pushing innovation goes and continuing to move the needle forward, I've found that there are kind of two ways that tend to be super effective, because there is a point where teachers just kind of reach their limit. They can't take on anything else. They're not willing to dive deep into coaching with me. They're just looking for the shallow day-by-day coaching. So the two things that I found are effective over the past few years is one, just to aim further out. So right now it's kind of a true but useless time period. Testing's going to exist. Like Michael said, those bell schedules are going to get whack. So just setting my aim further out and starting to engage teachers in after testing. Maybe it's that I prepare, do most of the front end work on a breakout room for their kids after testing, but then that gets them exposed to what a breakout room is. And it takes the planning and the pressure off of their plate. And then maybe they'll implement that on their own later on. Or maybe we just start co-planning a unit together, because that's a lot more fun than thinking about test prep. So setting your aim out for something beyond the testing season. And then the second thing that has been really, really fruitful for me is shifting my audience for coaching. So typically I'm very focused on the teaching staff. And this year in particular, I found so much success with our support staff at the school that I'm at. I've been working with secretaries. And then I know that some of my colleagues have been working closely with administrators. So offering your training and your expertise to support staff to help catch them up, because oftentimes admin and secretaries, they fall through the cracks during the typical PD time. So this can be a really good time to focus in on them and their needs too.
Yeah, to jump in with this one, I think one of the hardest lessons that I've had to learn as, you know, developing as a tech coach is that my job is to help teachers become a better version of them, not to help them be more like me. And that is where I try to find my balance between pushing them and supporting them and respecting their need for a break, because, you know, some of the teachers are already kind of like me, and that's a little scary maybe. But they're really easy to work for me to work with. They're usually thinking along the same direction I'm already thinking, and, you know, the brakes go off and I'm flying down the road with them. But some teachers are not like me, and it would be a huge mistake for me to try to make them more like me. And that's where that too hard of a push, too much of a stress comes from. So during any of the coaching opportunities that have happened, or their, you know, their personal growth opportunities, if they really are about them and about their needs, then that goes a long way toward not unnecessarily adding to the stress that they're going to feel. One thing that I kind of like to do, and I've done this in a real targeted way, is that, you know, since it's testing season and everybody's already kind of thinking in terms of progress monitoring, I like to kind of look back at some of the stuff we've done over the school year. And, you know, something that was a really, really cool thing, a really nice success 3 months ago, 4 months ago, bring that back out and show that back to the teacher who did it. It's like, you know, remember when we did such and so? This was really super cool. I'd like to come back to this and highlight this or use part of it in something else. I think this is a great time of year to remember, since we talk so much about testing, that, you know, if you're in a high school, not all of your teachers are teaching a subject that kids are going to be taking a test in. There are arts classes that are going on. There's world language classes that may not necessarily have a test that's attached to them right now. And if those folks are feeling a little left out because everybody's all worried about testing, this may be a great time, like Brooke was talking about, going to some other people who that she doesn't get to work with on such a regular basis. Maybe some of those other folks are this is a great time to catch up with some of them too. I think it's also a great time if they are in the building to catch up with some folks who work with some of the extracurricular programs that go on. You may have a tech tool, you may have something that will really help somebody who is working on some extracurricular piece. And if that happens to be a classroom teacher, you may show them something that they can use for their extracurricular that's going to turn around and reap benefits for them in their classroom later as well. So, you know, there's some extra angles in that we don't always think about because we're focused, you know, on a lot of those core subject areas at first. But it really helps not just with making sure that those people feel included. It helps build a lot more of the kind of relationships that really pays off later on.
Yeah, I love those tips that you guys shared. And kind of I'm going off the cuff here a little bit, but have either of you ever felt pressured or feel this pressure, like you have to show your admin that you're staying busy during this time? And if you're not as busy with teachers, will they think that they need you, or what will they think is going on? Because I know that I had felt that pressure in the past, and almost felt like I needed to like drum up things to do because I didn't want people to think that for this, you know, month and a half, couple months time period, that the tech coach wasn't a valuable piece of the puzzle.
I would say for me, at least the first year, I think that I did feel that way. But my first year as a tech coach, I think I felt that way all year. So as you're first getting established and you don't have all those relationships built, I felt like I was constantly trying to prove my worth and show what I was working on. And also during testing season that first year, I felt like that too. But what I kind of realized in the following years was that my admin's focus was not on me or on the really cool work that we do throughout the whole entire year. They were also hyper focused on testing, on just all of the red tape and the rule following that comes with testing, and retentions, and their focus was not on checking on me. So once I realized that, I think that I felt a little bit of that pressure free up, and that I could more authentically work with teachers and support staff and even admin. And so I would say not really in the years that have passed. And if anything, I do find that admin are coming to me more during this time, asking me for review tools or programs that mock what the test looks like, or the best way to distribute practice tests through Google Classroom. So those little testing focused questions anyway.
Okay, thanks, Brooke.
Yeah, that was really good. I know you kind of talked a little bit about it. We talked about how much there is on teachers' plates, and both of you had some really good tips on just kind of helping take some of those off, whether it was kind of being that vent board, or it was being maybe just having the ability to do a little bit more of those break fix types of things, just making those appearances and rounds and everything like that. I'm just curious if there's any other kind of tips or thoughts that you had kind of garnering to that, on how you can actually really help teachers out by taking a few things off of their plate.
Yeah, I think one of my favorite things that I've done, and it started just kind of as an introductory thing for a possible projection for something that might have been done the next year. But I've started setting up kind of what I call a sandbox, some potential future technologies to use, even if it's stuff they're already using now or already have access to now and just don't use very much. But setting up a sandbox, so it's like a separate place, come in, play with this, you know, this tool, this tech toy, or, you know, something like that, experiment with it, have some fun. It seems like there's something about doing that in a separate space. It's like, if I break this, I'm not breaking my computer by trying this back at my desk. it also, it's kind of cool if it's anything that if you collect any sort of swag, like pencils or stickers or anything like that from any of your ed tech tools over the year, have those laying out, set those out to make it a little more of a place of like, you know what, you got a few minutes, come down to the sandbox and try this interactive whiteboard, try this website, try this, you know, I made the mistake of setting a drone out one time. I know probably shouldn't have done that, but, so I mean, that kind of thing can, it's like, okay, I'm the teacher gets a chance to, I've got a few minutes. I'm going to get away from my stuff for a little bit and go see some of these things that with no pressure as far as, you know, this is something you're going to be expected to use next year. It's like, hey, we've got this stuff sitting out. We just kind of want you to try it out and tell us what you think of it. This is also a time of year where I love to kind of keep any of my books or websites that have things that are more motivational, inspirational, you know, sayings, video, short videos, anything like that. And, you know, anything that I send out as an email has one of those little quotes or one of those little videos attached to it.
So nothing from the Hunger Games.
Yeah, you know, I'm pretty sure I haven't put anything from Game of Thrones.
Probably smart.
And also the other thing is I really like participating in their extra stuff. If this is a chance where I can take someone's hallway or lunch duty or be with them during a hallway or a lunch duty, or if there's some little fun diversion that the school is doing for one of those days, it's really easy sometimes to say, oh, you know what, that would be a great opportunity for me to go back and lock my door and work on paperwork for the next 45 minutes. It would also be a great opportunity to go out and be with them and kind of help out with the pieces that they're working on too. So that those are some of the tips and the tricks that have really paid some dividends for me.
I would like to interject and say that Michael has the best quotes. I'm pretty sure that nearly everyone in my Forward Edge presentation has a Michael Rausch quote in it. So when he talks about his stash of inspirational material, he probably has a book of his own stuff somewhere up on that shelf too.
Michael, no pressure, but we'll be expecting a quote to sum up this episode at the end.
I'm thinking now.
I know we can edit out, and if it takes me a couple of minutes to find one, it'll look like I had one ready to go.
There we go. So we've talked about this previously a lot on our team, but also in previous episodes, and that is this idea that the role of a coach, especially a tech coach, is really to push this culture of lifelong learning and innovation and to really try to spread that district wide. So when we think about, you know, a lot of our conversation so far has centered around how our role shifts and pivots in different ways because the rest of the school is shifting and pivoting. And we're really trying to balance that teacher stress workload with still helping them in ways we can, but we haven't necessarily talked about those areas where we are able to maybe continue to push innovation. Michael, you mentioned some teachers aren't testing. They're great people to talk to. Brooke, you mentioned other stakeholders that you've been able to work with. But I'd like to kind of take a minute and just see if you guys can reflect a little bit, how are you positively contributing to the culture of the school during this time of year?
Yeah, this is a great place to kind of recenter us, I think, and get us back to where we want to be. I don't know. I've been in education a long time, and I have yet to meet anybody who tells me the reason they got into education was to get kids great test scores. Except that seems like it's what we end up being really, really wrapped up in right now. So as tech coaches, we're really close to the classroom and we're right there in the building. So we have a chance to help build and influence some of that culture in the realm where we are. And, you know, so, you know, the building administration has a lot of influence over the culture of the building, and the teacher has a lot of influence over the culture of the classroom. And, you know, that goes way beyond just, you know, a strategy or a mission statement that's, you know, stuck to a wall somewhere and nobody really pays attention to it anymore. I really like asking, you know, and this question can be fashioned to fit, you know, a principal, a superintendent, a classroom teacher, wherever, you know, you find yourself. But I like to ask, you know, what do you want your school or your classroom to look like? Get that idea in your head. But then the troubling question is the one that comes up after it, is what you're doing now getting you closer to that? And if it's not, then that's where that fundamental change of culture has to happen. And once we know where we want to go, that's when we can identify those tech tools, those little pieces, those procedure pieces of technology, or any of those instructional pieces that need to be at. That's when we can put those things, put those in to get there. And it always comes down to just at that point, we have to have the will to do it.
Yeah, that's great. Michael, will you repeat those two questions for the listeners that you ask teachers?
Yeah, the first question, and again, I can ask this once I know them well enough. I can ask this to any teacher, any principal, any superintendent, any board member. What do you want this classroom or this school to look like? And then the second question after they've thought about that is what you're doing now getting you closer to that? Because we all kind of have this idea. We know if we think about it a little bit, we know what we want it to look like. But then we start realizing, oh my gosh, there's so much that we're doing that's not actually getting us closer to that. And then we wonder why we're not getting any closer.
Michael, your words are just so powerful. Like, I'm seeing that on not only on everybody's desk next Wednesday morning, but I'm also seeing it on everybody's mirror as they're getting ready for summer and swimsuit season. Oh, I told you, Michael's the best.
Everyone's getting a bookmark with a Brookie Bitmoji on it with that quote now.
Michael has the best quotes. He is a great colleague to learn from. I'm thankful for him. I wish I had something to continue to climb up that mountain that Michael sets, but I hope I'm not letting our listeners down by bringing it a little bit smaller scale. With just a small recommendation that I've found has been helpful. And that's looking at your admin. And I said before in the podcast, all this pressure rolls downhill, and really admin are in the middle of the hill, getting hit with some pretty hard momentum of that pressure too. So I have found that it's helpful to help alleviate teachers' pressure, to really casually, nicely reframe admin's point of view in the best way that I can too. So any chance that I can to brag about a teacher that is doing something innovative or is focusing on student engagement or really nailing differentiation, those like core fundamental principles of education, if I can bring that to admin's attention and kind of brag on that teacher, it helps reframe where admin, where their mindset is right now too, that learning is continuing, that teachers are still doing great, awesome things, and just helps to build into that culture in a really small way, that we don't have to be 100% testing focused for 4 weeks, 6 weeks at a time.
Awesome, thanks. And I'll just add one comment here, thinking in the veins of like the culture and innovation. And it'd be nice to plug Megan in right now so she could speak for herself. But one of our colleagues, Megan Whitaker, really helps her school district oversee their makerspace, as does Michael in his school district. And she has been completely slammed these past few weeks leading up to testing. And when she stopped to ask some of the teachers why, you know, at a time of year when they typically feel like they're put on hold a little bit, you know, the teachers just talked about how they just really needed something new for the kids to do. And then also kind of a nugget that I thought was super interesting is that the teachers were able to work small group one-on-one with students who maybe needed the extra help while the other students were working on their passion projects or working on whatever it was that they were doing in the makerspace. So I just thought that that was a really cool way to kind of keep engaging people. Brooke, to your point, that teaching is still going on, that, you know, things are still happening. You know, Michael, to your point earlier about maybe pulling in other teachers that aren't necessarily being tested heavily right now, so that our students are still getting these opportunities. But also just a different way to frame your thinking about how you might be able to provide additional support to students while there's still these innovative things going on in the classroom. So just wanted to give that little plug. We'll have to have Megan on an episode maybe to talk a little bit more about all of those things in the makerspace across the content areas. But that intrigued me recently in a conversation.
Yeah, that's really cool. And also talking about that additional support. And I know both of you have already given some examples of some people that are not teachers that are support staff or other folks that are within the school district that are working just as hard out there as well, and how you've helped them. Is there any other kind of ideas or any other topics that you've worked with them on, or even as an extension, parents? I mean, this is another time where parents are definitely involved in some things. And if you've worked with any projects to kind of help keep parents in communication with admin or something like that.
So recently I have been doing, I think I mentioned before, training with our building secretaries. And I don't think I realized how great of a need there was for that training until after the first one. And so Justin, you asked about the specifics. So we really have kind of a wide range of skill level. But my goal was that after each training, nobody felt overwhelmed or like they were not capable. So we really started with the basics of just Google Sheets and freezing a row and what the vocab of a sheet is, how to share that sheet. So just these really what we as tech coaches might see as small things, but starting with those fundamentals of something they interact with every single day. We did a Zoom training, and as soon as the Zoom ended, there were two of them at the door of my office thanking me in person for that training. And I would walk by their desk and I saw them with their spreadsheets up and their first row frozen. And it just meant the world to them, because so often things are pushed onto their plates, and they are not always given the training to really feel confident in handling those tasks. So if you're interested in kind of the progression of that, we started with sheets. We got just a little bit into formulas with a sum formula and an average formula. And then we did Google Forms and Autocrat to kind of bring everything full circle for them.
That is awesome. Freezing rows is a game changer in my mind. It's especially for secretaries that have a lot of sheets and data and information they have to go through, that I'm sure that they really love that. Michael, is there anything that you wanted to add on to that?
Yeah, one meant that I specifically mentioned that comes up to me is the school where I work. It's really the centerpiece of the community. And there are a lot of things, there are a lot of events that happen at the school and with the school that are very, very, very community minded and that really draw in the community. And one of those big things that they do every year is a special Veterans Day, assembly, basically. But it's an event. They invite veterans from the community to come in for this program. They give them an honored place, you know, in the gym for this. And you know, with all the restrictions that we've had on gatherings and all that stuff this year, you know, back in November, it was pretty obvious that we weren't going to be able to do what we've normally done. And when you get to a situation like that, there can be two reactions. One, you can say, well, you know, we can't do what we normally would have done. So, you know, we'll mope about it and we'll let it bother us until maybe someday we can do this in the future. But they had a totally different attitude about it. They came to me, they were like, we've seen all these tools that we've been using over the last few years. What can we do? What can we still do? we normally would have done this, 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 and this, and we would have done them live in person. What can we generate? What can we still create? And we ended up with the help of a lot of people in the district, we ended up creating a Veterans Day appreciation video for the community. It took us a long time to record all the pieces. It took us a long time to edit it, to put it all together. Had a bunch of students helping with producing pieces of it, with helping edit pieces of it, with selecting what was going to go into it. And so once we had all this put together on Veterans Day at the exact time where we would have had them coming in, the school had this video that they were able to release to the community. Was it the same as we've had before? No, it wasn't exactly the same, but it was everything we could have possibly done with the situation we had at that point. I think it meant so much to me and to so many of the people who were involved with it for us to realize that the school wasn't saying, gee, it would have been nice to do that, but we can't. Their first reaction was, okay, what can we still do? What can we do, and how can we do it, and how can we make that happen? And honestly, that's what made that project go ahead, and that's what made that project get finished.
That's great. And so maybe this time of year, like with testing, I love that you guys got the students involved. That's awesome. And so maybe even thinking of, maybe teachers and admin need some sort of a thank you showcase, going back to, what you said earlier, Michael, of like, hey, look at these great things we did 3 months ago. Like, look how awesome this was. I mean, maybe they could even do something like that now, just to say, hey, it's been a crazy year, but look at these awesome things that we've still been able to accomplish. So that's really cool. And then the one other thing I would add from, again, someone who's not here, but I liked Tracy Keo, who was on our second episode. She talked a lot about specifically working with her admin right now and building principles, and really just kind of going up to the admin as teachers are kind of stressed or focused right now, getting ready, and going up to the admin and just saying, hey, what are the goals that you have? Or is there anything I can help you do right now? Are there things that you want to accomplish that we might be able to set aside some time for? And so she had a really great way of kind of approaching the admin to do a little bit more work with them that I thought was a clever way to work with a different set of stakeholders right now too. So, okay, I think that leads us into our last question that we have for you both today. And that is, so testing's finished, right? So at what point, when testing is over, what does your role look like at that point in the year? And how does that change for you?
So I found that this time of year after testing is over tends to be the time of year that teachers are willing to take the largest risks with me. So it's typically when I can get them to say yes to maybe things that would have scared them or that they wouldn't have had time for during the year. So like a breakout room or some like really cool student-led project, like a little mini passion project. So for my teachers that I know might say yes, I can tend to push them to try those larger things. Beyond that, after testing is over as a coach, I typically use that time of the year to organize just for the end of the year. So I always love a good checklist to kind of simplify the things that need to be wrapped up. So making a checklist for your teachers of how to close out their Schoology course for the end of the year, their Google Classroom course, what to do to prepare their Google Drive to be organized for next year. So all those kind of little organizational office type tasks. And then the other thing I like to do is kind of just a round of verbal check-ins. So I like to make sure that during that last month of school, I see everybody in the building and I talk to them. I love to ask them about their plans, to check in with them, just recap about the year. And really what I'm actually looking to do beyond socialize is to just gather as many takeaways as I can from teachers, because once testing rounds the corner, teachers tend, and I say tend because there are outliers, but tend to be a little bit more positive and a little bit more upbeat. So it's a great time to reflect with them because they're not down in the trenches of testing still. So gathering takeaways about their year, learning as much as I can about them and their goals for next year so I can use it against them in the fall. And really just doing a verbal checkout with everybody. So kind of twofold to help me plan for next year. And then also just to really solidify those relationships before the year wraps up.
Yeah, this is when I love hearing a teacher when we get to the testing season and we start to get to the tail end of that. I love it when I hear a teacher ask or say that, you know, I'm not really sure what to do next week. Because then I'm like, okay, there's my in. there's where I can jump in. I think sometimes we have this idea, we think sometimes all year long about, man, I would teach so different. What I teach and how I teach would be so different if I wasn't getting ready for these tests. Well, okay, now here's that time. If you can answer that question, now you've got an answer to the question about what you can do now. There's so many opportunities. There are so many things that I've seen done. Sometimes this is the time where a class takes up a service project that maybe they don't even have to go outside of their classroom walls for, but there's some things that they can do in a service project that really ends up having some real practical application to what they've been learning. By the way, I got to mention around all you young kids that I'm doing this podcast with, this spring malaise is not something that testing created. Right? I went through school before any of this, you know, state testing or anything like that was a thing. And when the time changed and, you know, the sun was up a little later and it started getting a little warmer, you know, school routines got a little harder to pay attention to. And so some of the teachers really got creative in how they designed learning opportunities. And it wasn't all necessarily to, you know, pass the quiz at the end of the day or the test at the end of the week. There was some real authentic, a little more genuine stuff that we did then. I'm also going to say that as a tech coach, this is a great time to start aggregating some information about some of the tools. I'm going to be a little more practical now about some of the tools that people have been using. If you've got a ton of teachers in your building who have been getting pretty good use out of the free version of a certain tool, this is a great time to start going to admins and saying, you know what, you've got more than half of your teachers have been limping along with the free version of such and such tool all year. They could do some amazing things if you can find the money to get this building a premium subscription for such and such. But if you can go to them and say, you know what, you know, 2/3 of your teachers are already using the free version on a weekly basis. So it's not a tool that you have to wonder whether they're going to like or whether they're going to use. This is something that they've already been using. I've been helping them, you know, I've been helping them get by with the free version all year. So this is a great time to do some of that stuff. I think it's also a great time to look. And if you know that the fifth grade uses something a lot, this is a great time to go to the fourth grade teachers and say, hey, you know, these fifth grade students are going to be expected to use such and such next year. Could we set up a little bit of time to go ahead and start exposing them to it a little bit now, so they're not coming into it, you know, cold in fifth grade? If you've got high school students, what classes, what kind of, you know, science classes or history classes, English, math, are they going to be taking next year? And are there some different tech tools that they're going to have to use in those classes? If you can use some of that time at the end of 1 year to help do a little bit of prep work for what's going to happen next year. Again, you know, it's not that, oh, we're not we're going to make you experts in this tool right now, but we're going to give you a little bit of experience in it. We're going to show you what it's like so that when you show up in that class next year, it's not a brand new thing that the teacher is going to have to, you know, take the first week or two out of their year to show you everything about it. You'll already have some experience with it. Those are some of the things that I like to see happen towards that cushion period at the end of the school year between, you know, when testing ends and when the school year ends.
I really like that, especially because that is kind of a hurdle that sometimes needs to be jumped at the very beginning. And I mean, kids are quick learners. I mean, especially with them on technology, they are just firing through real quick. And to even give them a little bit of exposure, they're going to have it down pat by the time they come back in fifth grade, especially if it's something that really interests them. So I really like that idea, Michael, of kind of going down to the grade below and saying, hey, look, they're using this a lot. Do you want to maybe kind of expose it to them? And then it also helps kind of build that the school community, because then teachers are kind of seeing a little bit more of what's going on in other grade levels too, and the tools that they're using. So I really like that point.
Okay, so I lied when I said last question. I have one more question for you guys. And that would be if you have any tips that you can think of that maybe we haven't touched on, or, you know, Justin and I didn't ask you specifically around that topic, what might that tip be for a coach to get through this testing season? And it can come in the form of a tip or maybe a quote that we're waiting from you on, Michael.
My tip for getting through as a coach, because it can be hard, and especially if maybe you're starting out as a tech coach and trying to navigate this season of teaching for the first time, it can kind of be a real downer when you keep getting the door slammed to your face, or you feel like the whole school is shifting back 10 years in their focus in education. So one thing that I always do when I feel like I need a little coach pick-me-up is to tap into my love language. If you're familiar with love language, love languages, mine is gift giving and words of affirmation. So as soon as I start to feel like discouraged, or like I'm not sure where my place is at in the school, or nobody needs me, I will sling little candy bars into the teacher mailbox like I'm Oprah, and I will write my little thank you cards, my little reflection cards. I get real sappy reflecting, especially on the teachers that go through coaching cycles with me that I develop a really close, deep relationship with. So just tapping into those ways that I best show my gratitude towards other people and for what they do, oftentimes lifts my spirits and helps to reaffirm my position in the school and what I'm there to do with teachers.
The thing that I really like to make sure I go back and refocus on this time of year is the idea of the fourth camera. And I've got to preface this a little bit with Gary Marshall is a TV director, directed, you know, a lot of great TV episodes, sitcoms over the years. And he worked on Happy Days when Robin Williams made his guest appearance on Happy Days as an alien named Mork. And from that, they ended up going to starting a brand new series, Mork and Mindy, which is kind of Robin Williams' coming out party. And there were whole sections of the script where it was just, you know, let Robin do his thing, basically. And he would just do all these crazy off the top of the head improv things. And at the time that when they were filming these episodes, there were three TV cameras in the room. It was all being edited kind of live on the fly. And they were stuck in one place. They were focused, you know, on certain points of action. But Robin was used to this improv work on street corners. And so he's darting all around the set, doing all this crazy stuff. The crew is just all in tears. They're laughing hysterically at everything he's doing. And so he'd get to the end of a scene and Gary Marshall would yell, cut. And he'd look over at the camera and tell me you got that. And the camera guy'd be like, got what? And he's like, that was genius, didn't you? And he's like, if he's such a genius, tell him to come hit his spot. And you know, they would miss all this stuff because the cameras weren't looking at it. And so, you know, Gary Marshall had this, you know, this conundrum. He's like, okay, do I try to tell Robin Williams to just do all this stuff in front of the camera? And no, that was a horrible idea. And he's like, well, do I try to teach the camera guys to dart around and follow? No, that's not going to work. They've done it this way forever. So he brought in a fourth camera and he just told this new camera that he brought in, just just follow Robin Williams, just catch whatever he does. And so the fourth camera became part of this. And I'm afraid that testing has become those three stationary cameras. And if something doesn't get caught on those, we don't see it. We just don't even pay attention to it. This is the time of the year that I like to try to be the fourth camera. I want to find the stuff that kids and the teachers are doing that is fantastic, that is a genius performance outside of what's getting caught by those things. Because the more you can catch those things and highlight those things for everybody, that again goes, I think it just goes back a long way to helping teachers remember why we're doing this all the rest of the time.
I love it. Everybody, all of our tech coaches, go out there and be the fourth camera for the rest of the school year.
A really good analogy going along with our, media with podcasts too. I like it, Michael. Well, I think that kind of wraps things up here for us on this episode here. So I want to give a special thank you to both Michael and Brooke. You guys have done a wonderful job providing some tips and tricks for everyone out there. So once again, thanks for jumping on here and talking about what you, what you're doing out there and the working hard in the trenches to help these teachers out during coaching season.
Thanks for having us, guys.
So you can tune in next time for our episode 5, Let's Get Social, where we will dig into finding and building your PLN as a tech coach so you aren't out there trying to go through this role all alone.
Yes, and be sure to subscribe to Restart Recharge wherever you listen to podcasts and follow us on Twitter and Instagram at @RRCoachCast.
And please go ahead and reach out to us. I mean, feel free to reach out to us and let us know what you want us to talk about. What topics are in your head out there that you want us to discuss and talk with our tech coaches on. So please make sure that you, if you got something on your mind, do not hesitate to reach out and connect with us.
So press the restart button.
Recharge your coaching batteries and leave feeling equipped and inspired to coach fearlessly with the Restart Recharge Podcast.
A Tech Coach Collective. You guys did a great job.
You guys are awesome.
Thanks, team.